It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Steve Scher. Follow through. It's a big challenge for individuals and organizations, including the executive branch of the U.S. government. When President Obama gave his 2013 State of the Union address, he listed several things he wanted to accomplish.
Now is not the time to gut these job-creating investments in science and innovation. Now is the time to reach a level of research and development not seen since the height of the space race. We need to make those investments. Let's declare that in the wealthiest nation on Earth, no one who works full-time should have to live in poverty, and raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour.
And President Obama made a plea for gun control.
Gabby Giffords deserves a vote. The families of Newtown deserve a vote. The families of Oak Creek and Tucson.
But what did he accomplish and what can we expect in 2014? David Gergen served as an advisor to four presidents. These days he teaches at the Harvard Kennedy School and is a political analyst at CNN. Hi, David Gergen.
Hello there.
So often, you know, these State of the Union sound like laundry lists. The president talks about a ton of policy goals, makes requests for congressional action. What items from last year's State of the Union were really on the top of President Barack Obama's policy agenda?
I mean, today, tonight?
No, from last year, from 2013.
Well, he very much wanted gun control early on, and of course he couldn't get a vote out of the Senate. He had some of his own Democrats joining a very hostile Republican group, and it went nowhere, to the great disappointment, of course, of families in Newtown, and to the surprise of many political observers, because that was those were measures that were supported by a vast majority of American people, and they wanted to see it action, but it never took place. And one of the reasons why I think that the president comes in with a heavy burden tonight is that so many of the calls that he made last year went unanswered, and partly because he faces this recalcitrant Republican group, partly because I think there's a sense that the Obama administration didn't play their cards very well, and of course, then toward the end of the year, they had this rollout on health care that has really put a damper on many, many things well beyond health care.
Yeah. Beyond gun control, was there anything else that President Obama said he wanted to accomplish in last year's State of the Union that he did accomplish?
He was very high on his list.
What's that?
And immigration was very high on his list, and that never went anywhere. There is a possibility he can salvage that this year, that the Republicans are feeling heat themselves over their own foot-dragging with regard to immigration reform. So there's possibly a good deal out of that. But I think tonight there is a danger that what's going to sound somewhat repetitive of things he called for last year, like the minimum wage. He called for a minimum wage last year of $9, didn't go anywhere. Now he wants to make it $10. That gets to be a pretty heavy lift.
What strategies have been working for the president and can work for the president when it comes to actually getting stuff done?
Well, my personal preference is for him to come back to the traditions that have existed for many decades with Democratic presidents like Lyndon Johnson and like Bill Clinton and, frankly, like Franklin Roosevelt. And that is, you have a strong base of people who agree with you. And in this case, the president has a lot of people around the country who want minimum wage raised. They do want immigration reform. But you mobilize your base. You bring a lot of pressure to bear, and then you find people on the other side who are willing to strike a deal. Now, the Obama people would argue, well, there's never been anybody on the other side that would strike a deal, and that's often been true. But I'd like to see him go back to that, as opposed to this rather odd idea that has crept up in the last two or three weeks coming out of Washington from the Obama allies, and that is what the president's power today consists of is his pen and his phone. Now, in other words, he can use a pen to sign executive orders going around Congress, and he can use his pen to veto things coming out of Congress, and he can use the phone to call people outside Washington. Well, that basically abandons the pledge, the commitment from way back in 2008 that Obama was going to come to Washington and change the way Washington works. It essentially throws up his hands and says, I don't think Washington will work, therefore I'm going to go around and over the top and the Congress is pretty irrelevant to what I'm trying to do. That, I think, that's an unfortunate turn, and I think it also represents a very cramped view of presidential power. The presidency, Richard Neustadt, who was a foremost analyst of this for a long time, he said the presidency is the power to persuade. And at some level, the president's got to persuade people, the public, and people on the other side, these are the right things to do. Let's do 1, 2, 3.
David Gergen served as an advisor to 4 presidents. These days, he teaches at the Kennedy School. He's also a political analyst at CNN. I want to ask about your perspective on viewers here in Washington State, out here in the provinces. People kind of feel like a lot of this stuff is happening in the Beltway. It's happening in the other Washington. Is it important for people to even tune in and listen to the State of the Union tonight? And if so, why?
Well, I don't think there's a duty, as one has a duty to vote, but I do think that if you care about our national life, yeah, you ought to tune in. You ought to try to understand what the president's saying, what he's trying to do, his struggles. You may vote, be with him or be against him. But there's an opposite side to this argument that I've come more and more to believe, and that is we should not become obsessed with whether Washington is working or not. We take our cues from how the country is doing by how broken Washington is doing. We all get very depressed. And in fact, what's really happening when you get outside Washington in cities, and indeed in many states, but especially in cities, there are a lot of communities in this country that are on the move now, that are doing things right in their own hometowns. A lot of civic engagement, business leaders working with nonprofits, social entrepreneurs, working with mayors and the like to really propel communities forward. So, as much as we bewail the fact that Washington is so broken, there are still things to be done, and the country can. A lot of progress now, economic progress, social progress, is being driven by cities and by communities, and that's where most of us live these days. Yeah. And so we ought to be turning our attention to, okay, if Washington's broken, what can we do here in Seattle? What can we do in Portland? What can we do in many, many other cities around the country?
All right, David Gergen, leaving us with an optimistic message. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
He teaches at Harvard's Kennedy School, is a political analyst with CNN. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. With Steve Scherr, I'm David Hyde.